Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March 11th, 2026. Today is Wednesday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Here ends the reading. When was the last time you thought of breakfast, lunch, or dinner as a theological statement? My guess is that for most of us, most of the time, such a thought never occurs. I know plenty of people who give up meat during the season of Lent as a fast and then give the money they would have spent on the meat to some charitable cause. I am also aware that for our Muslim neighbors, we are currently in Ramadan, and they are fasting every day from sunup to sundown. Further, I'm aware that our Jewish neighbors keep dietary strictures dating back to the Pentateuch, and these dietary strictures are the ways in which Jews keep covenant with God. The theological controversy around food facing the congregation in Corinth is simple. Corinth was a city with plenty of temples to gods and goddesses, and as a part of religious observance, animal sacrifices were made in those temples. This is not unlike such sacrifices which were still being made to the God of the Jews back in Jerusalem. The twist was this. In the Jewish temple, the portion of meat not consumed in the sacrificial process became part of the compensation for the small army of priests who maintained the robust sacrificial schedule. In pagan temples, however, leftover meat was put up for sale in the local markets. The question dividing the Corinthian church, a congregation composed of Jews and Gentiles, was this: could food, which had been a part of a pagan ritual, be consumed by a Christian? One group, claiming special knowledge, maintained that since the idols weren't anything other than false gods, then the rites performed on their behalf meant nothing. Since the so-called gods were nothing and the rites were nothing, then no harm would be incurred by eating leftover sacrificial meat. The other group, while understanding the reasoning, could only see that eating such meat was to participate in and monetarily support the idolatrous behavior that took place in those pagan temples. Paul makes no judgment per se on the question of eating the meat. He raises the theological bar by saying that the most important thing is maintaining a harmonious community of faith. With this aim in mind, Paul espouses the norm of those with the more liberal outlook to refrain from exercising their liberty for the sake of those with a more conservative position. This sort of deference is a way of demonstrating the servanthood of Christ. Paul is clear. Our responsibility to each other is of primary importance, and everything else, even our knowledge, is secondary. This principle of making decisions for the benefit of the entire community is again one that is hard for us to grasp. We live in such an individualized society. We only think often about what's best for me or what I want to do. And as I've mentioned before, practically speaking, most of us do not recognize our connection to a local congregation as constitutive of our fundamental identity as a Christian. I do wonder, though, what it would be like to think about our connection to a local congregation as putting us into proximity with people who are all over the map theologically. If that were the case, what are the things we would be willing to lay aside for the benefit of those who would be offended by those very things? For instance, are there forms of entertainment we would forego? What about particular words we use in our vocabulary? Would we give those up if they were offensive to our fellow Christians? What sort of food or drink might we give up for the spiritual well-being of one another? When we think about these kinds of questions, we begin to grapple with how we are mutually responsible for and responsive to each other as fellow members of the body of Christ. And if we begin to think deeply about mutuality, what we owe each other as fellow believers, that could change how we view not only our relationships with each other in the church, but our relationship with God as well. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.